We're going to talk to you about sufferings a little bit, or the sufferings of Christ specifically. But we're going to go into some things, and we'll open up, and when we start reading from the scriptures, it'll be in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, okay? If those of you that like to follow along with your Bibles. Before I get started, I'd just like to say my wife really wishes she was here. She booked the flight. She is supposed to be with me. But you know how things happen in life, and having families and having girls and things change, and she's at home taking care of business so I could be here. You know, very appreciative, very thankful to be here and honored to be in this church. And, you know, it's like coming home. I lived here for 3.5 years, went back, and Christine, I've been pastoring there for over 25 years. But every time I come back to here and see you guys and get to be with you and fellowship and be in your homes and share the Word of God with you, it's just like being with family. It's being home again. So got to meet some new people already this morning. I hope I get to shake everybody's hands. I haven't yet before I leave here today. And very excited about sharing this word of the Lord with you. How many of you have come here with an open heart ready to receive? Okay, you're in the right place. Now, maybe I'm the only person in this room. Well, actually, Courtney said she doesn't either do social media. But if you don't do social media, you probably know that we have a young man in our church named Walker that has a wife named Brittany, and they just had a baby yesterday. Yeah. What's her name? Brooklyn Grace Smith. 6 pounds, 13 ounces. Yeah, and she's beautiful. So if you got anybody in here that'll show you a picture, I got some on my phone, but keep them in your prayers. They're a young family. And happy, healthy baby at home today. So, well, not at home. They're still in the hospital. But the whole thing went very well. She had to have a C-section, but the baby's healthy, and they're super happy. And I don't think there's anybody more happy than Julie Smith, though. Oh, Lord, that girl, she's off the chart. If you know Julie at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain. How many of you have your Bibles here this morning? Turn with me to 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. We're going to begin reading in the first verse. And like I said, we're going to talk to you about suffering. Specifically, oh, you have the Bible above me. I got you now. You're going to talking about sufferings, but we're going to get into specifically the sufferings of Christ, because it says if we suffer with him, we will also reign with him. So what does that mean? And what I'm going to do here today is break it down into three different realms, three different existences. And we're going to talk about the sufferings that Jesus suffered as a man when his Father sent him from heaven to the earth. Because when you talk about the sufferings of Christ, that's what most people think about, right? Calvary, Golgotha, the cross, having his hands pierced, his feet pierced, the crown of thorns, being smitten before. And ultimately suffering the cross and death. That's what we think about most of the time. But the second realm or existence we're going to talk about is the sufferings of the Spirit of Christ, which was in the prophets, which was, and I'm going to take it here, all the way to the beginning, the Spirit of Christ in Adam and what it suffered in Adam. Then we're going to come all the way back to the front, and we're going to talk about the here and now. We're going to talk about the sufferings of the Word of God, of the Spirit of Christ, that even suffers us right here now today. So three realms, three existences. Are you ready to go? 1 Peter, 4th chapter, 1st verse. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's a lot right there. Second verse says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So the first thing is, if you suffer in the flesh as Christ has suffered in the flesh, there's a ceasing of sin and there's a living to the will of God. But notice all the way back at the top at verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, if you read that quickly, you miss why he did it. Do you see it there? He suffered for us. He suffered for us in the flesh. Jesus is not selfish. He doesn't do his own will. He does the will of his Father. And who does he do it for? He does it for us. us the apostles, us the church. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the very first thing, Mike, why did Jesus do it? Why did he come and suffer? His Father sent him for us. You with me? That's pretty awesome. Are you feeling pretty good right now? Feeling pretty special? Pretty honored? You really should. And it went on to say, for he has suffered for us in the flesh. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now, many of you have read Philippians. I think it's the second chapter in the fifth verse where Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, even unto the death of the cross. And I'm paraphrasing some there. You can look at it in your own time. My point here is, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the first thing we got to do is be willing. We got to say, I will let. In the prophets, I believe it's in Isaiah, it says, the Lord said, I will work. Who will let? Are you willing here today to let? Now, another thing is, he said, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, with the mind of Christ, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, the Lord recently dealt with me about this, arm yourselves. If you are arming yourselves, you're taking up arms. There's a war or a battle to be fought. You are arming yourself. And Paul goes into this. You know, in the Old Testament, there were many wars, Nancy, many wars. And they were against Jew, Gentile, sometimes even Israel fought against themselves. You know, the Israel would fight. They fought against Sion, Og, Balak, all Gentile kings, men fighting men. But what does Paul say when we come into the New Testament, the New Covenant? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So where you can see in the Old Testament, it appears all the battles were without. And I think I might just talk about this on Wednesday. When it comes to the New Covenant, to the New Testament, where do they go? It's within, isn't it? There becomes a battle against principalities, against spirits, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, I believe, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And he shows you where the battleground is. Where is the battleground for you and I today? It's in the mind. It's in the mind. It's in your heart, in your spirit. And it's a spiritual warfare. How many of you believe in the spirit realm? How many of you have been in the spirit realm? I want every hand to come up. You just don't know you've been in the spirit realm. This man has been in the spirit realm. This man has been in the spirit realm. Keith has been in the spirit realm. There are those of you that have, but every single one of you should have raised your hand. And from this day forward, be ready, willing, and able to begin to experience this spirit realm in such a greater manner than you've ever experienced before. Because the battle that you're fighting in your mind, at times the thoughts, the depression, the fear, the anger, the hatred, so many things you don't realize. This world tries to use the pharmaceutical company and medicine to fix you. And I'm not preaching against medicine. Do what you need to do. I'm just saying there's a bigger picture here. There's a greater place of warfare. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, right, JM, where's he at? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we're battling and we're in a warfare, like he said, arm yourselves with this mind. We got to put on the mind of Christ. We got to be able to access the spirit realm. And like Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but when he talks about the armor, what does he start? He says the same thing David said when David was going to battle Goliath. Little different words. Didn't David say, the battle's the Lord's? This ain't my battle here today, Pastor. The battle's the Lord's. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. His schemes, his methods. We're going to talk about that. Hopefully when we wrap up service here today, we're going to talk about one of, Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. I saw some things in the spirit for this whole church. We're going to handle something today if we get to it. Now, when it talks about arm yourselves with this mind, let's read that again. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So let's start in our first place. You think about Jesus. What do we think about the suffering? Like I've already said, the cross, right? Let's go through it. They didn't break any of his bones because the prophecy was none of his bones would be broken. But what did they do? He was smitten. What else? They pierced his side. They pierced his hands and feet. Plucked his beard. You think that was suffering, plucking out a beard? Where'd Micah? Where'd Brad? Huh? That hurt, huh? Crown of thorns, Ann said. You imagine? And they weren't nice about it, were they? Slamming that crown of thorns in the head and the blood just running down the face of Jesus. But you know, there was more than that that he suffered. He suffered more than the cross. He told Peter in Matthew 16, he had to go suffer rejection. He had to be rejected. Can you imagine being sent to a place having never done anything wrong whatsoever, and the majority of the people there hate you, John? Hate you so much they gnash upon you with their teeth, desire your blood, desire you to be hurt so much that you're put to a death. Agony, I'm talking. And you come in love to bring salvation. At one point, they all left him. Huh? Judas betrayed him, but the Bible says that when the shepherd was smitten, the sheep were scattered. Everybody's gone. He suffered the ultimate, didn't he? He suffered rejection. He suffered betrayal. He suffered not being understood. Pastor, you ever suffer that? I know you do every day because you're a pastor. Right, Gary? Anything else you can think of you can help me with here today that Jesus suffered? Huh? Yeah, until Simon carried it for him, huh? The Syrophoenician? He had to carry his own cross? Even the fact that from the time he was born, he suffered the will of God to be done. Circumcised the eighth day. Huh? What happened when he was a couple years old? They tried to kill him and all the children. They did kill the children. But God sent a dream and sent him into Egypt so he was safe and would be saved. 12 years old, may not look at this as suffering. Some of you 12 years old will. He had to be subjected to his parents. Huh? That's what it says. They left Jerusalem. He's left behind. They go back to find him. He's in the temple asking and answering questions with the doctors, the lawyers, whoever he was in there doing it with. His mom comes in. Look what you did to us. Could you imagine leaving your kid behind like that after a couple days realizing it? And he said, "And know ye not, I must be about my father's business." And then it says he was subject unto his parents, subject unto his mother. Then we come at 30 years, according to the will of God, he enters his ministry because of the Levitical priesthood. At 30 years old, a minister would come into ministry and minister for 20 years. And at 50, you were done. Jesus didn't have to go 50 years. Marty, how long did he go? 3.5. 3.5 years, and he was done. He was killed, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again for you and I. Amen? So we see some sufferings of Christ right there, but let's go to another realm. Let's go to another existence. How many of you, and we can do this, but for time's sake, I'm going to say it and you look it up, okay? Because I think you already know the things I'm going to say here. But who was the first man that God formed from the dust of the earth? Adam. Did God breathe into his nostrils the breath of life and he become a living soul? Is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? Did God breathe the Spirit of Christ into Adam? Now watch this. Well, let's do this real quick. This is 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 11th verse. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Hold on a second. I'm going to go back one verse so you know who we're talking about. Verse 10. Of which salvations the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Was the Spirit of Christ in the prophets? Were they testifying of the sufferings of Jesus Christ? Absolutely, that's what it says, correct? So when God breathed into the first man, his son Adam's nostrils, the breath of life, he breathed the Spirit of Christ into Adam. The Spirit of Christ into Adam. Have you ever thought about this? Because we showed Jesus as a man how he suffered. Now we're showing how the Spirit of Christ suffered in God's creation, beginning with Adam. This is really interesting. But in the book of Hebrews, talking about Jesus, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he had suffered. Was Jesus ever disobedient? Why would he have to learn obedience if he's always obedient? You ever thought about that? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he had suffered. That's what we're talking about here today, the things he suffered. Watch, this is super cool. Did he suffer sin coming into the world by one man's disobedience named Adam? So the Spirit of Christ is in Adam, Micah, suffering the disobedience, suffering the sin. Are you with me here today? Think about this. Could you imagine being in a body, being in an individual, watching a son kill his brother and can do nothing about it? Did Cain murder Abel? Was the Spirit of Christ in them, testifying of the sufferings of Christ? Now look at it like this. You know that Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many of you look at Adam as being a Word from God? So is the Spirit of Christ suffering in the Word? You need to say yes, because when I go to this next level, we're going to talk about you and I. We are the church. We are a Word from God. Is the Spirit of Christ suffering in you and I with some things? Yes. But if you arm yourself with the same mind and you perceive the suffering that you put on that same mind of Christ, you can cease from sin. And you'll live the rest of your life, not to the lust of the flesh and to the will of men, but to the will of God. How does that sound? Come on. No sin? Woo-hoo! We all get excited now, huh? The Spirit of Christ was in Noah. When he planted a vineyard, God drunk and his son saw his nakedness. The Spirit, Christ suffered that. What about Abraham? What did God suffer with Abraham? Did he take on a covenant and a relationship with a bondwoman, bring forth a son after the flesh? And not only did he suffer, did he bless it and make Ishmael a mighty nation? This is just how good God is, huh? What about Moses, Micah? Moses was supposed to speak to the rock. He'd already smote the rock once. Jesus does not. He is the rock. He doesn't need to be smitten twice, folks. We don't need to crucify Jesus again. He's already done what he needs to do. Moses, this is a type and shadow. Moses was told John to speak to the rock and it would bring forth water for the people of Israel. What did he do? He spoke unadvisedly. He said, "You rebels, do Aaron and I have to bring forth water from the..." What do you mean, you and Aaron? He spoke unadvisedly, and it kept him out of the promised land. Did you know that Christ in him suffered that very act and then raised up Joshua to come after him? The Spirit of Christ was in David's daughter, Tamar, when her brother took her and forced himself upon her. The Spirit of Christ is suffering all of these things. Suffering Israel to be given a promise of a land that flowed with milk and honey, and to be hated, rejected, naysayers, rebels speaking evil of a God that loves them and has given them a promise to take a land from an enemy and to give it to them. And they wouldn't believe him. Is there anybody here? If you were back in those days, you wouldn't have done that, would you? Trick question, don't bite off. So he suffered unbelieving Israel also, didn't he? He suffered their rejection. He suffered their hatred. That was another thing Jesus suffered big time, didn't he? How much they hated him without a cause. The innocent for the guilty. Amazing. There were so many things in the Old Testament that the Spirit of Christ suffered to come to a place where no one could do it. There's none that understandeth. There's none good. And God said, I know what to do. Keith, he said, I'll send my son. I'll send my son to give his life, to be crucified on Golgotha and Calvary. And many hated him for it. Now here we come to today. Now we come to the here and now. There's a lot more I could say about the suffering of Christ in the prophets, that they testified and they signified the word of God all the way from Adam all the way out through Malachi, with a 400-year break in between until the apostles come, or the disciples that would be the apostles. Heck, Jesus suffered with them, didn't he? They wouldn't believe. How long must I suffer you? Bring the little child unto me. They couldn't cast out a devil. Jesus had to do it for them. And he already told them they could. I'm sure that's never happened to anybody here, huh? The here and now. Do you have Christ in you here today? Yes, you do. Do you know Romans 8 says if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you are none of his. Doesn't it say that, Pastor? Then you are none of his. You have to believe and understand. You don't have to totally understand it. Believe here today, Jamal, that the Spirit of Christ is in you. But there's times. Has every single one of you perceived yet that you've received a word from God? Yeah, you need to. But at times, is the Spirit of Christ suffering that word of God to not be believed? To be rejected? Huh? Has he suffered in your heart sometimes the fear that torments you? Come on. The unbelief, the doubt. Has the Spirit of Christ suffered in you here today? Can you arm yourself with the mind of Christ that says, no matter what it takes, no matter where I have to go, no matter what I have to do, I'm going to do the will of my Father. Can you do that here today? Can you know like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Huh? That the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. And then you can say, not my will, Lord. Not my will here today, but thy will be done. Now, there's something I want to deal with, Pastor, real quick. I'm almost done. How long have I been talking? Feels like a little while. Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. There's something that the Spirit of Christ has suffered in some of us here today, maybe all of us. And it's time to deal with it here today, right now, if you'll allow me. by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if you do not forgive your brother of his trespasses, neither will my Father which is in heaven forgive you of yours. When we don't forgive, our very prayers are hindered. Let me read something to you. Some of you wonder, man, I've been praying, and God's not answered my prayer. He's not talking to me. I'm just going to show you maybe one reason that's happening to you here today, if you can stay with me. Yeah, Mark the 11th chapter and the 24th verse. Mark 11, 24. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Do you hear that? Pray, believe, receive. Sounds pretty simple. Pray, believe, receive. Michelle, can we do it? Pray, believe, receive. Oh, hold on. We got to go to the next verse. And yeah, you know that's coming up, Pastor.
Everybody excited there.
Well, they should be excited, because if they'll go through with this, we're going to have a new day. We're going to have a change in your prayers, in your thoughts, in your heart. Do you know what? Unforgiveness will eat you up. Let me tell you something about forgiveness, though. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is what a lot of people don't understand about forgiveness. The other person doesn't have to accept your forgiveness. Come on. You're doing it to protect yourself. You're doing it to protect your heart. I forgive you, as Paul said, forgive in Christ, okay? Are you with me? I mean, some horrible things have happened to Horrible things have happened to good people, and they've had to forgive. But that doesn't mean that you have to buddy up with somebody that's done you wrong, that's hurt your children, that's hurt you as a woman. Huh? You forgive them in your heart in Christ's sake, and your conscience is clear, your heart is clear. There's no iniquity, there's no trespass. Your prayers are ready to be heard, Pastor Dan. Huh? You know, when we first start talking about sufferings, Debbie, you're suffering. Hip replacement, knee. I got 4 people in my church that are recovering from cancer, have recovered or have had cancer. Chemo. Huh, Ann? I don't know how many in this church. I know in mine. Radiation. Do you suffer? It's rough. But you know, we're going to read a scripture before I leave here today in Romans 8. And it says, the sufferings of this world are not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One thing about it, if you look at it, I didn't read a lot of scripture here today. I spoke and preached to you a little more. But when you look at suffering, you know what comes right along with it? Glory. If we suffer with him, we will share in his glory. If we suffer, we'll reign with him. If we suffer, we'll be a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed, listen to me closely, in us. Yes, we suffer without, but what are we suffering with? And let's take this all in right now. Let's take this all in. A lot of us have been done wrong. Probably more in the future. You're going to suffer, aren't you? But you know what's so important? That you don't give the devil a place. We're not ignorant of his devices. Let me finish. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Did you hear that? When you stand praying, forgive. Because if you don't forgive, and I could read if you want me to. If you don't forgive your brother of his trespasses, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you of yours. This is super important. You with me? He said, if you have aught, there are people in this room. That have aught with this man. He suffers it. Today, forgive. Let's clear our conscience. Let's work godly godly sorrow, where there's a clearing of the conscience, where there's a new beginning, where there's a new start. Take all those odds. Some of you in here might even have an odd against me. And I don't even know it. It's time to forgive. And as the Lord says, it's a time to forget. That don't mean I'm not going to watch you. That don't mean I'm going to keep my eye on you. But he does cast your sins as far as to the east and to the west, huh? How are you going to get anywhere in God if you have aught and unforgiveness in your heart against the ministry? How? But today you can change that. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. We could do an altar call up here. But there's an altar in your heart, and you can do it right there, right where you're sitting here today. You can forgive. You can let God wipe the slate clean and begin to see your prayers answered and no more being hindered. Let me show you something else real quick. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We'll read 9 and 10. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Now, did you catch what I said earlier? How Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he had suffered? When the Spirit of Christ was in Adam, Adam was the one that was disobedient, wasn't it? By one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. See, Christ was never disobedient. So when he was in Adam, experiencing Adam, he goes, oh, that's what disobedience is. I've never done that before. That's not in me. Now I've learned. I'm always obedient. That's disobedience. Got it. That's kind of the hard way, right? Eating of the trees of life would have been plan A. What's plan B? Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what I'm saying to you here today. We can go plan A. We can simply forgive here today. Verse 10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, look at me, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Christ has suffered all these things. He suffered as a man in the earth. He suffered as a spirit in all of his creation. Up to when he became a man. Then he was crucified, buried, rose again, lived 33 and a half, well, after his 33 and a half years, he was crucified, buried, rose again. And then after 3 days, you know what he did? He sent that spirit to you and I, Gary. He sent that spirit to you and I. He's in our hearts crying, Abba, Father. As he gathers all of us back in here today. And a big part of not hindering our prayers anymore and our walk with God is forgiveness. You know, the scripture tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us of our sins. And I'm not saying you have to come up here today and tell everybody, air your laundry. As a matter of fact, I'm not even saying that you got to go to the person that you're going to forgive. But I am saying you have to forgive. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. God bless you. Let the Spirit of God heal you here today. Let him raise you up. And let's watch that word grow up into him in all things. Amen.